I'm Mark Bayshore. We're glad you could join us today. Current States, a month in review segment for July includes the reversal of a ban on straight ticket voting in Michigan, reports of substandard conditions at a women's prison in Ypsilanti, and a quick look back at two closely watched nominating conventions. Joining me to review and update those and other stories is the Detroit Free Press reporter, Paul Egan. Paul, good to see you.
Good morning, Mark.
We had the Detroit News, Chad Live and Good, all set to go here with us today. But late yesterday, Chad had to bow out because of the story that you and I need to talk about here first. And this is the planned news conference by Attorney General Bill Schuette today at the University of Michigan in Flint, announcing more criminal charges relating to the Flint water crisis. Paul, you broke the Free Press's coverage of this planned news conference. Is there anything you've learned since yesterday about this?
Nothing that's firm enough to report yet, Mark. We just know that Schuette promised there would be more criminal charges when he announced the original charges, and he is going to be filing those today in Genesee County Court.
And this is scheduled for 11:30, as I recall, at the University of Michigan, Flint. So that's going to get some heavy coverage, I'm sure. This is the second round of criminal charges. Remind our listeners of the two rounds of charges brought already.
Right. First, the Attorney General brought criminal charges in April against two Michigan Department of Environmental Quality employees and one City of Flint employee. And these range from misdemeanors to five-year felonies. Charges were somewhat controversial. A number of attorneys say that it could be a hard time getting some of these charges to stick. There's controversy about whether we have, you know, some medium to low-level public employees being charged for essentially trying to do their job when perhaps there are higher ups that maybe are greater to blame. There's also some question whether, as horrible as this tragedy is, we're ever really going to find criminal liability in this case. But basically, they're charged with a number of charges, including conspiracy to tamper with evidence, tampering with evidence, official misconduct, and in one case, basically a violation of saying that the Flint water treatment plant was safe to operate when in fact it wasn't.
We've had one round of criminal charges and one round of civil charges as well. So today's charges apparently fall into the criminal category. We shall just have to wait and see how that unfolds here later today. 2 weeks, two major nominating conventions. Now, you did not report directly from either Philadelphia or Cleveland, but you report on politics often. I know you keep an eye on this. I'd like to hear your takeaway from the Democratic convention, which just wrapped up last night.
They are definitely certainly more pumped up leaving the convention than they were arriving at it, Mark. And you know, it's interesting, as much as there are contrasts between sharp contrasts between those two conventions, there's one similarity that comes through in that in both conventions, for a large part of the party base and party members more generally, it's a case where they're not so much in love with their candidate as determined not that the country can't afford to have the opponent's candidate elected.
Both are pursuing unity, and it seems pretty elusive, or it has been pretty elusive for both parties. I would say post-convention, it would appear the Republicans have a bigger challenge than the Democrats do in terms of staying together. But the both parties seem to be dealing with pretty serious stress fractures, I guess, for the lack of a better phrase right now.
Absolutely true, Mark. And Michigan played a pretty significant part in both of those fractures. In the Republican convention, you had Wendy Day, a prominent Michigan Republican who was one of the leaders of the Never Trump movement. Really, she worked very hard to try to push the push Ted Cruz even beyond when it looked impossible after they wouldn't change the party rules. And of course, on the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders actually won Michigan, and there were many members of the Michigan delegation that were among the most diehard Bernie Sanders supporters.
He took the primary, of course. How do you have a feeling you were not in Philadelphia? We'll make that clear. But how is it? Do you have an impression as to how unified Michigan Democrats are behind Hillary Clinton here? Right now?
You know, it's sometimes hard to correlate what you see at the convention with the electorate more generally. But I do think they're leaving the convention relatively unified. Certainly Sanders did everything he could to try to give strong endorsement to Hillary Clinton. The real question is going to be, what is the enthusiasm level of voters in both parties? And this campaign is really just going to start getting going, perhaps even really around Labor Day. And this could be such a negative, really divisive campaign that many people think it may drive down turnout on both sides. Mm.
Politics completely aside, I have to give the Democrats pretty high marks for the optics of their convention. It was, I think, a pretty impressive gathering, which worked very, very hard to put these stress fractures in the background. And it appears to me Tim Kaine would appear to be quite the guy to resolve, maybe address some of these divisive issues. Does he strike you that way?
Certainly, a very, very much kind of a genial, everyday type of guy that really puts people at ease. I thought he was particularly strong, not so much at the convention, but at the Clinton announcement of him as the running mate on the weekend. And you're right in that there was such a sharp contrast between the high-profile people that were prepared to come out and speak for Hillary Clinton, as opposed to what the Republicans were able to bring out in support of Donald Trump. And certainly even had, you know, a prominent Republican like Michael Bloomberg coming out and speaking at the Democratic convention. Very unusual.
We had a short film about the Flint water crisis that aired in Philadelphia. Mayor Karen Weaver also appeared there. In Cleveland, we did have Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette taking the stage, talking about justice for Flint. Let's pivot to Philadelphia briefly. Any particular takeaways from the Republican gathering?
As far as Flint?
I'm sorry, I pivoted to Philadelphia. I want to pivot to Cleveland there. Any particular thoughts on the Republican convention?
Just in terms of Flint or in general?
In general.
The convention started off more divided probably than it ended. Ted Cruz's speech where he did not endorse Donald Trump, although there were expectations that he might, and told the convention attendees to vote their conscience. That certainly created a lot of controversy at the convention. You saw Cruz almost booed off the stage, and certainly that party remains very divided.
And any thoughts on how unified, I'll ask you the same question that I asked you regarding the Democrats about the Republicans, how unified do you feel Michigan Republicans are behind Donald Trump?
I think they're divided. I mean, there are many that are basically taking the position, this is not my first choice, but I'm going to support the nominee. Mm. We can't have Hillary Clinton elected president. That's kind of going back to where we started. There are many Republicans that, as much as they're not enamored of Donald Trump, believe that a Hillary Clinton presidency would be worse. But there are also, you know, there are also Republicans that are enthused about him in Michigan, and there are also others that are not going to support him under any circumstances. And there are Republicans who basically have said they're going to leave the presidential ballot blank when they go to the polls.
Paul Egan of the Detroit Free Press is with us on Current State's July Month in Review. I'm Mark Bayshore. We'll point out we know of two presidential polls that were held here in Michigan in July. Both showed Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump. Steve Mitchell of Mitchell Research showing a 7 percentage point lead for the former Secretary of State in a poll. This was before the convention, so this goes back a few weeks. Lansing's Marketing Resource Group showing a 5 point Clinton lead more recently. You're a reporter, not an odds maker, but if the election were held today, who do you think would take Michigan?
Well, yeah, I'm really not an odds maker, but I guess based on the polls and based on the fact that no Republican has won Michigan in a presidential election since 1988, I would have to say that Hillary Clinton is the favorite right now.
Going to be so interesting to see how this unfolds in our state between now and November.
Also, Mark, I don't want to interrupt, but you know we have been talking about the shooting announcement coming later today, and we do just have some confirmation of what the Attorney General is going to do today. If we might be able to break a little news, but the Free Press is about to report that six state employees will be charged by the Attorney General, three from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality and three from the Department of Health and Human Services.
These are criminal charges again.
Yes, they are. And we'll have to, I think we'll have to wait for more details on that. But that's the latest on the announcement that's coming at 11:30 today.
Okay, so Paul Egan's newspaper about to report, the Detroit Free Press about to report three employees of the Department of Environmental Quality and three employees of the Department of Health and Human Services about to be charged criminally here by the state. We will learn more about that here in the coming hours. Let's shift gears here. Michigan's ban on straight ticket voting that Governor Snyder signed into law in January was stopped by a federal judge in Detroit just last week. This is Judge Gershwin Drain. What was Judge Drain's reasoning here?
Judge Drain said that the ban on straight ticket voting would be very disadvantageous to voters in large cities and particularly to black voters, and that therefore it was unconstitutional.
And the reasoning behind the ban was what? How did Governor Snyder and other supporters of the ban defend it?
The basic argument from the Republicans is that people should make an educated choice based on the candidate, not just on the party, and that that basically it was more a better example of civic engagement to go down the ballot and check each name rather than make a single mark and go the straight ticket. Of course, part of the context to that is that despite the fact that the Republicans have been able to pretty much sweep the table in Michigan in the last couple of elections, from the governor's office right down to the legislature, the House and the Senate, where they have not been successful is on the items at the very bottom of the ballot, such as the State Board of Education, university trustee jobs. The Democrats have still been more successful in those areas, and the critique of the Republican position is that really what they're trying to do is reverse that effect, because the statistics show that Democrats tend to vote the straight ticket more than Republicans do in Michigan.
Is there any indication that either the Secretary of State or the Attorney General will appeal Judge Drain's ruling?
Yes, the Attorney General, I believe, has already filed an appeal, so this will be taken up by the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati. You know, the Attorney General is basically saying that it can't be unconstitutionally disadvantageous because people still, have the right to vote for whoever they want to. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's important to mention is that even many Republicans that supported this legislation wanted it coupled with any reason absentee voting, which would have the effect of reducing lines for people to vote, which is a concern in the big cities. If you have no straight ticket voting, it's going to take longer for each person to vote. The lines get longer. So you had people like Lisa Posthumous Lyons, who was a sponsor of this this legislation, she would no longer support it once the legislature would not pass the any reason absentee voting to go with it. It was, for many Republicans, saw this as a package that should have gone together. Even the governor supported it that way, although he did sign this bill in isolation.
Paul Egan of the Detroit Free Press here on Current State's Month in Review on WKAR. You wrote some compelling stories this month about the conditions at the Huron Valley Correctional Facility. This is a women's prison with more than 2,000 inmates in Ypsilanti. You wrote about the conditions there, not just for the inmates, but for employees as well. Talk to us about the conditions there for the inmates first. What's going on there?
Yes, Mark, and we are actually going to have some more on this story coming this weekend. But basically, what's really unique about the women's prison, as opposed to, we have over 30 men's prisons in Michigan, we only have one women's prison. So there's nowhere else to put a woman. You have every level of security there. You also have what they call the boot camp for women is there. When you think about it, think about even transporting people for court. People have cases in counties all around Michigan, and yet they're only housed in this unit in Ypsilanti. So that creates unique challenges as well. But the bottom line is they've converted day rooms, TV rooms, offices into cells for women. There are complaints that there's a lack of ventilation. They, in one case, restricted access to the day rooms because too many women were wanting out of their cells at the same time. It affects programming. Many of these women need to complete certain programs in order to get parole. Because there's so many inmates, they can't get into these programs. That then delays parole and aggravates the overcrowding problem. So there's a number of issues. Leaking roofs is another one that we just reported on, that there's been frequent cases where they've had to have buckets under the ceilings in various places. In the prison, there's reports that it's creating black mold, mildew, other issues that are health threats. And the one former corrections officer said it. You know, there was a case where it even shorted out the lights, the water leaking through the light fixtures. Although the department did deny that particular claim.
There are also what appear to be substandard conditions for workers there as well. In the time that we've got left, Paul, just talk to us about how state – you did have input from state corrections officials and spokesmen in your stories. How are they responding to these conditions? What did they tell you?
Basically, there's some history here in that we had a real problem of male corrections officers, not all certainly, but some, abusing female inmates at these prisons. So what they did was they basically said, no more male corrections officers. Then they didn't have enough female corrections officers. And that's a reason they've had to have this forced overtime for so many women. Basically, the state is saying they're doing the best they can to try to hire more qualified female corrections officers, but that because this facility has to be staffed 24/7, they admit they are forcing women to work overtime because they basically don't have any choice, they say.
We will point out again the news that we've received here during our segment with Paul Egan of the Detroit Free Press. His newspaper reports that Attorney General Bill Schuette will bring criminal charges against 3 employees of Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality and 3 employees of Michigan's Department of Health and Human Services. Criminal charges here forthcoming in Flint today. We will learn more throughout the course of the day. For now, we want to thank the Detroit Free Press's Paul Egan for joining us on Month in Review. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks for having me, Mark.